Good morning, church family. Thank you for a great Easter weekend, Good Friday services, at least virtually together, and Easter Sunday. Missing you tons, more and more every week, every day. Thanks for the messages. I love to hear how you're doing, what you're learning, how you're growing, how I can pray for you in the Cantrell home, and as pastors and elders, dying to see you as ASAP. In the Lord's perfect providence and timing. Let's be praying it will be soon. This morning we're going to answer the question that I left hanging yesterday in our exposition of Isaiah 53. If you weren't there, please go and download that. One of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, the gospel according to God, as someone has put it. And Isaiah's phenomenal prophetic portrait of Messiah 700 years before he came. But in Isaiah 53 verse 5, there is a very common question today, and this probably will take a couple more minutes than normal, but it's important. I trust you'll find it helpful. Probably questions you've asked at times that, if not just you, how about others that you could help with a clear biblical explanation? Here's the question: is there healing in the atonement? What does it mean that by his stripes we are healed? And would that include COVID-19 or other diseases, cancer, and so forth, as people love to ask about? Thanks for joining me for coffee this morning. King James says, by stripes we are healed. It's a favorite verse of the Word Faith movement. Health and wealth preachers, they say Jesus carried all your sickness and disease on the cross, so when you get saved, you should never be sick again. They even go to Matthew 8. Turn there for a minute in your Bibles. Trust you're seated with your Bible open in front of you there. Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening came, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Isaiah 53. So their logic goes, if you're sick, it can only be one of two reasons. Either you haven't come to faith, or you don't have enough faith. Either you're unsaved, or you're unbelieving. Now, let's unpack this. Four brief answers to that unbiblical position. Four responses to the unscriptural view that Jesus died to bring you physical healing in this life. Number one, Jesus' healings were signs. They weren't a recipe. They weren't a technique. They were signs proving he was Messiah. Matthew 8 is many months before Jesus died and performed his atoning work on the cross. Matthew is showing that the Gospels, what the Gospels constantly show us, the purpose of Jesus' miracles were signs proving, demonstrating, displaying that he was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, doing what only Messiah would be able to do, proving that he was God, that he could save us from our sins. As we're going to see, the New Testament is clear about the main point of Isaiah 53. And as I showed in the sermons yesterday, Matthew could also say that Jesus' healings and his pre-cross, his earthly ministry, were a partial, limited fulfillment of Isaiah 53. So his miracles were authenticating, verifying his claims to be Mashiach, Messiah. It's the whole point of Peter's sermon, for example, in Acts chapter 2. You know this man Jesus, who proved by his miracles and his signs and his wonders that he was the God-sent Messiah. Second answer. First, the miracles were signs to prove he was Messiah. They weren't a recipe for our own private healings. Number two, there will be healing in the atonement when Christ returns. Yes. Isaiah 53, as I showed yesterday in the sermons, talks about not only our sin first and foremost and fundamentally, but also the consequences, the symptoms of our sin, our griefs, our sorrows there in Isaiah 53 include physical, emotional, and spiritual problems. Jesus cares not only for our souls, but also our bodies, and has compassion on our illnesses as we see the compassion and the mercy of our Lord and his tender touch throughout the Gospels and his earthly ministry. And the Bible is clear. One day when Jesus returns, we will receive new, glorified, immortal bodies of perfect health. As we celebrated yesterday on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, 1 Corinthians 15. What Jesus was doing there in Capernaum in Matthew chapter 8 was also a preview of his coming kingdom. When he returns, when we will reign with him in perfect health. Yes, there will be healing in the atonement in future, but not now. That's what you call over-realized eschatology. It's cramming the future, forcing it into the present in a triumphalistic and impatient way. Until Christ calls us home or comes for us, Romans 8 and many other texts are clear. We live in a cursed, decaying world that groans and our bodies ache. And this world is broken and fallen. Hebrews 9:27 is clear. We must all get sick and die one day unless Christ returns first. If God does choose to heal you temporarily and relieve your pain in this life, it's because of his fatherly mercy and care and kind providence. It's not because Jesus died to give Christians perfect health in this life. As one writer correctly states, the belief that Christ's physical suffering somehow guarantees our physical healing in this life isn't merely an abuse of Scripture, it's a form of mental and spiritual torture to sit under false teaching. It's a lie that has left many churchgoers disappointed with the gospel. Rather than longing for their heavenly home, they are gripped by unrealized expectations in the here and now. The sickness they struggle with leaves them feeling like failures who lack the necessary faith to claim the healing that's rightfully theirs. The fact that everyone still dies should be proof enough. On this side of eternity, all people are still subject to Adam's curse. Sickness is a very real part of life in this fallen world, and no amount of claiming divine health is going to change that. Even the disciples of the early church didn't rebuke their physical ailments into oblivion. They dealt with them as best they could, like everybody else. Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he leaves Trophimus behind in one of his journeys because of illness. He recommends wine to Timothy for his stomach and his frequent ailments, 1 Timothy 5. Epaphroditus got so sick he nearly died, Philippians chapter 2. Sometimes God sent sickness to discipline members of his church, 1 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 12, God allows Paul's painful thorn to remain for greater humility and deeper dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ to discover his all-sufficient grace, his strength in our weakness. Is it not ironic? Some of the most prominent faith healers are being exposed as frauds through this COVID-19 crisis. Kenneth Copeland, publicly cursing Corona. Well, what good has that done? Angus Buchan himself getting Corona. Where's the faith healing powers now? Third answer, the heart of Isaiah 53 and the whole Bible is Christ dying for our sin and guilt, not our sickness. That's the main focus we saw yesterday in Isaiah 53. The effects of sin are secondary. The thrust of Isaiah 53 and the whole Bible is about the spiritual, eternal effects of sin on the soul. That's why our Lord came and died. It's clear all over Isaiah 53, our iniquities, our transgressions, our guilt, our sin, in almost every verse. And the whole language of Isaiah 53 is rooted deep in the backdrop of Leviticus and the priestly offerings. There's never a sickness offering listed anywhere in Leviticus. There's sin offerings and guilt offerings and peace offerings so we can be right with God, not so we can have perfect health in this life. And the Leviticus of the New Testament is the book of Hebrews, that's right. And the same focus, Jesus' death was all about atoning for sin, not sickness. Go to Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10, and so forth. Fourth and final answer to why the Bible does not teach, and Isaiah 53 does not teach, that by his stripes we are healed physically in this life, is the straightforward interpretation of Isaiah 53 by the apostles. Peter, and then also the evangelist Philip, show us what kind of healing Isaiah 53 has in mind. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2. It could not be clearer, using the very language of Isaiah 53, but all clearly in the context of sin and salvation, not physical healing. 1 Peter 2, and he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you are healed. For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. It's all about the greatest healing of all, salvation from sin, an eternal cure. Once you get this healing, all the other symptoms and consequences of sin will one day be sorted out when we see our Lord. Same in Acts chapter 8. Philip is asked by the Ethiopian eunuch, what does Isaiah 53 mean? And he preaches the gospel to him. And how does the eunuch respond? Not by asking for healing, but asking for baptism, repenting of his sin, putting his faith in Christ. So let me summarize. Scripture is clear. Christ became sin for us, not sickness. Christ forgives our sins, not our sicknesses. Christ gave himself for our sins, not for our sicknesses, fundamentally. To say that Isaiah 53 means physical healing in this life is to rob the Christian of one of the most precious, most comforting chapters in all the Bible, Isaiah 53. That is a tool of Satan to replace the true gospel with a false one, to turn good news into bad news. To say that Isaiah 53 is merely to fix your body in this life is to steal away from you the very chapter that most displays your Savior's love, that best displays our great salvation, and turns it into a condemning chapter because you don't have enough faith if you're not healed or you're not even saved. What a lie from the pit of hell. May God deliver us from such false teaching. Lord bless you. Have a great day. Thank you.